Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. Got a comment? Email me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Cast your vote for the show on Podcast Alley, podcastalley.greatdetectives.net. And you can become a fan of the show on Facebook, facebook.greatdetectives.net. I got a comment here from Kathleen, who sent a $20 donation, said, "Hi, Adam, this is long overdue. I just made our flat pans through Johnny Dollar Air, and we're heading towards Netflix. Hope you get a benefit." Well, thanks, Kathleen. And yes, the products we mentioned on the show are affiliate product. And so the only way that there's a benefit for us mentioning them is if it works for people who are listening to the program. So I always want to be careful we choose good merchants that provide something that could be of value to people. But thank you, Kathleen, for your donation. As we do get started, I want to remind you about JohnnyDollarAir.com. Kathleen was able to find a nice ticket deal, and there are two great ways to save on your entire vacation package. You can either search from published specials, or you can name your own price. At JohnnyDollarAir.com, which is Priceline, you have flexibility, and I just encourage you, as you make your summer travel plans, think of JohnnyDollarAir.com first. Now, let's get into today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This one is called The Missing Masterpiece. It's also known as The Village Scene Matter, but we'll go with The Missing Masterpiece. Let's listen, and then we'll come back.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Edmund O'Brien as...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Doug Strand over at Bay State Bonding and Liability. I've got a big bonding case for you up in Boston.
Well, I just started to work on a case here in Hartford, also bonded. But okay, what's the picture?
Huh? How'd you know it was a picture?
How did I know what was a picture?
The one I'm calling about, an oil painting. Insured for $250,000. It's just been stolen.
Edmund O'Brien in another transcribed adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Bay State Bonding and Liability Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of my expenditures during investigation of a missing masterpiece. An investigation that took place in Boston, but turned out to be no tea party. Expense account, item one, $8, mileage, Hartford to Beantown on the Charles. First stop, the Modern Art Gallery, a modest made-over brownstone in a modest business neighborhood. Andre and Modan here?
He stepped out of the office for a few moments, but Beretta could help. I'm his daughter.
Oh, I see. My name is Dollar. I'm from the insurance company. They sent me up to see what I could do for you on last night's theft.
Oh, that's such good news. Father has been beside himself. I know he'll be so relieved with you here.
Now, let's see. According to my worksheet, the painting was owned by Mr. Riddle, huh? Cesar Riddle?
Yes. He's an acquaintance of ours. He's not what you'd call the arty type by any means, but he's interested in good oils and... He has a very nice collection of milestones.
Was this village scene on loan to the gallery, or did Mr. Riddle want to sell it?
It was a loan. And that's what makes this so terrible for Father, and for me, too. He didn't want to accept the loan, and I talked him into it. You see, it's been very difficult for Father, and I thought that hanging an important picture in the gallery would bring people in. And it did for 3 days, but... Oh, Father, this is Mr. Dollar.
Hey,
He's here to help us. He was sent by the company that insured village scenes.
Ah, bless you. I am so happy you are here.
I hope I can help, Mr. Modan.
The police. I know they do their work well, but they are so stern, unfriendly. To them, who is Pierre Bruegel, the elder. And will it seem, what is that? A stolen broom would annoy them so much.
Now, don't let their attitude fool you, Mr. Modan.
I'm sure they're doing everything they can, Father.
Yeah.
Mr. Modan, I understand that nothing else was touched.
What is anything next to Pieter Bruegel?
It was the only master in the gallery then, huh? I'd like to see where it was hanging.
Yeah, of course. This door. Teresa, you will wait?
Yes, dear, I'll be here.
You will wait, Mr. Dollar. I feel I must explain the importance to me personally. Is that all right?
Sure, if you think it'll help, go right ahead.
Mr. Dollar, if we do not find the canvas, my gallery is gone. Everything, all my years are for nothing.
Why do you say that?
Because of that man, Rito. There is a hate between us. We have not expressed it, but it is there because... Well, you have met my daughter. You realize her great beauty. I have tried to protect her from this man. Now I am on my knees to him because of my carelessness.
Well, I wouldn't give up if I were you. We haven't even started on this case yet.
If we fail, I will take her away from Boston and start all over again. You come this way. In this gallery, you see my life, Mr. Dollar. Many of these canvases I bring with me from Salzburg when I leave before the Anschluss. Here under that light is where the lid scene was hanging. I have hung nothing more yet.
Forced this window, huh?
Yeah. You see, it looks on the back of the property. Do you see something?
No. Oh, I was just wondering what I'd do with the picture if I'd stolen it. Who could I sell it to? Who'd be willing to take a chance on displaying it?
Oh, I'm afraid there are a great many unscrupulous collectors in the world. There's much trade in stolen goods. And again, sometimes great masterpieces are held for ransom. For that reason, I have offered a reward of $5,000 myself.
Hey, that's pretty steep for you, isn't it? What about Rito?
Rito? What cares Rito? To him, the canvas is nothing.
I wish he was right. Well, I think I've seen everything I want to see here. I'm going to check in with the police, Mr. Modan. I'll let you know when we turn something up. I'd like to talk with whoever's working on the Modan burglary, officer. Here's my ID.
Insurance, huh? What'd you say the beef was?
M-A-U-D-A-N, Andrian Modan. Stolen painting. Call came in this morning.
Modan. Oh, yeah, here it is. That'll be... estimated value of $250,000.
Yeah.
A picture?
Yeah. I'll bet you the artist was lucky if he got a month's rent out of it. The price has gone up $100,000 every century he's been dead.
Ah, one of them old-timers. You can have him. I don't understand him. Your man is Sergeant Hines through that door, first office to the left. I'll buzz him. You're on the way.
Thanks.
Yeah, come on in. How are you, Dollar? So you came up in the more dancing, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to check in with you, find out how much I can do before you pull your rank.
Ah, cut it out.
I run into some touchy policemen.
Not here. Well, I get my hat off that chair. Sit down.
Thanks.
You got a free hand as far as I'm concerned, Dollar. You're not to see the old man yet, Modan?
Yeah. Say, what kind of a make did you get at the gallery?
Nothing special. Typical window job. Heavy crowbar, no signs worth anything outside. The old boy ran a story in the papers about the picture coming to his gallery, so it's a little tough to narrow the suspects.
This guy who owns it, Cesar Rito, I've heard of him, haven't I?
Yeah, a lot of people have. He made his pile during the war. It was talk of black market, but nobody could pin anything on him. Then last year, he was up before the Senate Investigation Committee. Something about buying contracts. Then he came home. What are you looking for, Dollar? Fraud charges?
Well, let's be realistic. They may be easier to find than the painting. I've worked a few of these things. You know, the usual method is to cut the canvas out of the frame with a razor blade while it's still hanging. Rolled up, it's easy to conceal. On this job, it went frame and all, didn't it?
That's what I got. But I'm thinking the other way. I got detailed out looking for that frame.
I can dream, can't I? It's faster my way. And I got tickets for South Pacific for 3 weeks after Easter. I did some spade work on Cesarito that afternoon before I went to his address. His current position was that of wholesale liquor distributor for a number of distillers that managed to keep their prices high and their quality low. His financial condition was healthy, but you don't have to be broke to be able to use $250,000. I found Riddle's residence halfway up the shady side of Beacon Hill. He hadn't made the top, but he was climbing. There was a coat of arms on the wrought iron gate and a butler, complete with cummerbund, inside the front entrance. But the class stopped there.
Charles! That's that clown from the dress shop. Give him to me. When I get through with him, you can shovel him out.
It's a gentleman to see Mr. Riffle, madam.
Oh. Go finish the silver. I'll talk to him.
Yes, madam.
Hello, my name is Dollar.
That's very clever, but it doesn't help. Could you be the sick friend he's been sitting up with lately?
The insurance company told him I was coming up when he reported the theft of his painting.
Oh, Riddle's folly, huh?
You, Mrs. Riddle?
Not yet. I'm holding out to be a June bride. Come on in the bar, Mr. Dollar. You and me are interested in the same situation. My name is Lily Swanson. I don't know anything about art, but I got a few ideas about who's supposed to be modeling as a sap. You want a drink?
No, thanks. Don't let me stop you.
I had one here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Well, did you meet the museum piece?
You mean Teresa Modan? Yeah, I met her.
If you want to make a quick buck, take out a policy on her life. To me, she's poison.
Oh, it's hard to believe.
What do you mean by that?
I was just looking at you. You don't have anything to worry about.
Haven't you heard? Sometimes beauty is only skin deep. I want to tell you about Cesar Riddle. He's a climber. I've been good enough for him for a long time, but now he wants refinement. Doing specialties in burlesque houses, that's one thing you don't develop.
Maybe I'd better have that drink.
Yeah, I hope you so. Don't get me wrong. I'm not building up to a sob story. It's just like him waking up one morning with a big interest in art and money enough to carry it off. The right people were impressed. Now he wants that dame and he's willing to gamble a few hundred thousand if it'll help. That's why he put that picture in that fire trap.
Where do you think it is now?
How should I know? The point is he doesn't care where it is. He's protected.
Another point is that I'm getting paid to care a lot where it is.
Well, I can't help you there. But he's got to be taught that he can't walk over people without getting hurt himself.
I'm afraid I can't help you there.
Then that dame, Teresa. You think she's worth it? Tell her. He's not good enough for her. She'll get hurt. He's got no more feeling for her than he has for a new suit. He'll wear her for a while. When he gets bored, he'll go shopping for a new pattern. If she's a nice kid, she ought to be told.
That's quite a pitch, Lily.
Caesar.
I don't mind strangers hearing things like that, but the servants might have been listening. Discipline, you know.
I don't care. When will I write my memoirs? You're one of the rottenest mashers I've ever known, and I've known a few.
Go fix your face.
Sure. On the way, I might as well fix yours.
I didn't hear enough of it to find out who you are.
Name's Dollar, insurance company.
Oh, yeah. Tell me, you made any progress?
Yeah, general progress. I've learned that Bay State Bonding and Liability hired an investigator on the wrong end of this case. They should have looked you over before they issued the policy.
With any kind of big company, you can depend on about 90% of that all the time. Rush things when the money's coming in, then be careful when it's too late. Tell me, what about my picture?
Well, I don't think a nice, honest thief has it.
Why do you say that?
Number of reasons. It's too hot to steal the way it was stolen.
Well, what do you think happened?
You're too big to be accused on a hunch. Wait till I get some facts. Then I'll talk to you about it. Right now, I want to talk about a clause in your policy that says you shouldn't move the insured property without first notifying the company.
Yeah, that's right. Big companies again. They're so tied up with procedures and rules, they'd get themselves hamstrung if they tried to build a case on them. I'll find you some words in that thing that'll nullify that clause. Don't you think I can't?
I was afraid you'd say that. You know, you've got a good head, Mr. Riddle.
Yeah. Yeah, they say nothing of being a rotten masher.
I don't see any reason to waste any more of each other's time, do you?
Stay for a drink?
Oh, no. No, thanks. I very seldom drink on the job. I parked my car in an alley around the corner and then went back. I found a spot opposite the Riddle place where I wouldn't be obvious and settled down to wait for him to leave. I hoped I'd planted enough doubt in his mind to make him move if he was implicated. Whatever I'd planted grew slowly because I waited a long, cold time. Night fell and I drove closer to the house. Finally, the door opened and Riddle moved a blue-black sedan out of his garage. By the time I got my car started, a coupe pulled out of the driveway. In it, I spotted the blonde head of the lady scorned, Lily Swanson. I followed her. After a few blocks, it was evident that her destination was the Mordan Gallery. I pulled up at the rear of the building. I could see a dim light burning on the ground floor. I started toward a window. But before I got to it, it happened at another one. It was a woman's scream, but when I finally got inside, the only person there was Cesar Ritto. He was still alive, the stupidity of shock on his face as he leaned against the wall under a light that had once shown up the best features of Pieter Bruegel's village scene.
In just a moment, we will return to the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. But first, Wednesday nights on CBS bring you Groucho Marx, Bing Crosby, and Burns and Allen, an hour and a half of radio's top entertainment for the whole family. Bing Crosby, Burns and Allen, and Groucho Marx are heard in most of these same CBS stations. So make this wonderful Wednesday a steady date with CBS. And now, with our star, Edmund O'Brien, we return to the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
So there I was. I'd been sent to Boston to find the missing village scene and found myself at the scene of attempted murder. Cesar Ritto had taken two slugs, one in his left shoulder and a grazing one on his right forearm. I phoned for police and ambulance, then did what I could to make Riddle comfortable. I turned up the thermostat, covered him with my coat.
Who did it, Dollar?
That's the question I was going to ask you. Don't you know?
Must have been outside.
That's right, through the open window there. Why'd you come down here?
I forgot my hat.
Look, you're in no shape to try being clever. You met Teresa.
Let me alone.
I want to know how your stolen painting figures into this.
Leave me alone, leave me alone. I met Teresa, this is where we meet.
What about the painting?
It was stolen. I don't feel good, Dollar. I don't feel good at all. I don't want to talk. I feel like I'm going to pass out.
And he did. After the ambulance took him away, I made a statement to the police that was not false, but lacked enough truth to save a few people from being dragged in for questioning. I headed for the blonde member of that group.
Oh, it's you. What do you want?
Just a few words.
I used up all I had earlier today.
Yeah, but we got new things to talk about.
Such
now.
As?
Well, the police might want more from me on that art gallery shooting.
All right. Is he dead?
No.
Did you know I was there, or were you just guessing?
I wasn't guessing. I followed you from here.
Oh, I suppose that earns you a drink. Come on.
Thanks.
Up yourself. You said the police were there.
Yeah, I had to call them. I didn't mention your being there.
Why not?
Because I wanted to get to you before they hauled you in.
I didn't shoot him. I followed him there, but I didn't shoot him.
Somebody did. There were two women there and me, and I didn't do it. Why did you follow him?
Because I heard him phone that Teresa and tell her to meet him. I wanted to find out what was going on, but I didn't. I changed my mind. I didn't even stop. I was afraid I might do something crazy if I saw them together.
I'd like to believe you.
It's the truth.
Maybe. I hope it is, because I'd like to link the shooting up with the painting. If I can, you're going to be in bad trouble.
You're pretty smart, aren't you?
Things just worked out this way.
You think Caesar did something with that painting for the insurance money, and you want me to help you prove it to save my own skin?
No, Gorgeous, no. To save the company, $250,000.
You'll never die of softening of a heart, will you? All right, what comes first?
I want to hear everything you know about this deal. And while you're telling me, I want you to help me go through this house from cupola to basement. This time, I believed her story, but there still wasn't anything in it to help me. The search of the house paid off the same way. No painting, no leads, nothing. At 11 p.m., I left, looked up the Modan home address, and bearded the other point of the triangle in her den.
It's terribly late, Mr. Dolly. It's after 11.
Your father here?
He's upstairs in his studio. Wouldn't tomorrow morning be better?
Maybe for you, but not for me. I don't want to give you all that time to get your story straight.
Oh,
why'd you meet Rito at the gallery tonight?
Don't see that's any of your affair. A girl has a right to meet her fiancé when and where she wishes.
Fiancé?
Yes. They're to be married as soon as possible.
You were with him when he was shot. Why did you leave him?
Because I was terrified. Caesar told me to go. He thought she was trying to kill me.
Did he say it was Lily, or is this your idea?
Of course it was she. Who else would it be? Mr. Dollar, this situation is unpleasant enough without these insinuations from you that I don't even understand. It means nothing to you. It is a matter for the police. You have no right to meddle in our lives. You are sent here to look for Village Scene.
That's what I'm doing. Why are you marrying that self-styled dictator?
Because I love him.
Well, that won't stay down. Nobody but Caesar Rito could love Caesar Rito.
Right. It's because I'm tired of being a poor man's daughter. I want to get away. I finally decided what I want out of marriage. What he can give me. He's going to be a big man, a wealthy one. And I'm going to be his wife.
Teresa. I'm sorry you heard that, Mr. Modan.
Oh,
stay out of it, Father. I've made up my mind. Go to bed.
Go to bed with those words in my ear. My daughter, what has happened? What has that man done to
you? Quiet, Father.
Teresa, wait. We will not be poor all these.
Go. Don't talk to me.
How can this be? Suddenly, she is no longer Teresa.
I didn't sleep too well that night. An all-night car line that ran past my hotel didn't help. Neither did the questions that were running around in my head. But what grew in importance was the realization that the lives of everyone who had come in contact with Village Scene had been emotionally upset since I'd arrived in Boston. That is all but Caesar Rito, who'd only been shot. My half-conscious musings didn't move me forward any, but the phone call that awakened me did. Yeah, hello.
Dollar?
Yeah, who is it?
Sergeant Hines, burglary.
Oh, well, how are you, Sergeant? What's new?
That fraud case you were dreaming about, it won't work.
Hey, come on, it's too early for that kind of stuff.
Sorry. Couldn't resist it. The picture's been returned.
What?
The old man Mordan didn't know where to reach you. He called us. It was returned for the reward he posted.
Have you seen it?
No, but if he's not worried, I'm not. I've got a lot of other burglaries.
Okay. Thanks for calling. I'll go right out there. Sounded good until I got halfway to the gallery. Then things began to pester me. A, the painting had been stolen in the frame. B, Mordan hadn't mentioned being an artist, yet he'd been working in his studio the night before. C, Caesar Rito knew nothing about art collected as an affectation. And D, Mordan had been the only one to post a reward, $5,000 offered by a poor man. Then it hit me. He knew he wouldn't have to pay it. He'd posted the reward to divert suspicion. My hunch was that he had put the picture on ice himself. When I got to Modan's gallery, the copy Mordan had made of Village Scene was there. But also, hanging next to it, was the original.
You are surprised, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah. Yeah, doubly, Mr. Mordan.
My copy is quite excellent. Do you agree?
Well, I'm not an expert, Mordan.
It is very good, I think. I am pleased with it. The most important work of my career. A work of love for Teresa.
Yeah, I understand.
She was an ambitious girl, always. Oh, that is not a fault. She is like a mother born for good things. I could not give them to her. Cesar Vito could. He's soon coming for his canvas.
Well, no crime has been committed, except theoretically. You copied the original, meant to sell it, but you didn't. Maybe Ritter won't press charges.
Perhaps not. When he came the first time into our life, I knew. The way he looked at her, I knew he wanted to take her away from me. Then the gifts, more expensive, each one money to buy. You should understand, Mr. Dollar. This copy is a work of hate, too.
You don't have to tell me these things. Why don't we wait till he gets here and see what he's going to do?
Yeah, we wait. But I must say these things that are in my heart. To attempt a copy was wrong, and it was not wrong. To Riddle Bruegel's village scene was nothing. He was blind. I hoped with the money I could hold there. But I waited too long. I was too late. He's taken her from me with his money.
Come on, Mr. Modan. I think you'd better sit down.
No, listen. Listen, he has come. I must be strong. Show him he is no bigger than I.
Hello, Modan. Modan. Dollar.
Well.
Except for a little blood, everything turned out just like it should.
The insurance company will be happy.
Where is my daughter?
Why, she's in the car. She thought it would be better if she didn't come in.
Yeah, perhaps she is right.
Oh, come on, Pop. I'll take good care of her. Now, come on, you just give me my picture and we can forget. Hey, wait a minute. What's this? There's two of them.
Yeah, two of them.
What's the matter with you, Modan?
What is the matter? In all my life, there has been no shame until now. There, you see on the wall, deceit. For that, I am ashamed.
Ah, we can still forget it.
And in your car waiting for you, my daughter. For her, I feel the greatest shame. I give her my blessings.
Modan.
Hey, no!
My
blessings.
No!
Drop the gun to the floor. Go over to that chair and sit down.
I could do nothing else. Now, it is finished.
Mr. Dollar!
Your father killed him. He thought he was doing it for you.
No, there was no reason.
Teresa, come on, pull yourself together.
Stephen knew my father had made a copy and that he was going to sell the original. But he didn't care. As long as I married him, he wouldn't have done anything to Father. And now Cecil's dead. My father is a murderer.
There wasn't much left for me to do in Boston. I made the statement that caused Andre and Modan to be booked for murder, the father who didn't know when to stop protecting his daughter. I paid a farewell visit to Teresa, the daughter who had put her father where he was by trying to help him. And I mentioned to Sergeant Hines that if he cared, it had to be Lily Swanson who had thrown those wild shots into Rito at the gallery. Expense account item two, $8. Return trip to Hartford. Expense account total, $68.30. And I want to go on record right now as saying that the next time anybody sends me out after a masterpiece, my expense account is going to be a masterpiece of overstatement. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, stars Edmund O'Brien in the title role and was written by Gil Dowd and Paul Dudley, with music composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Edmund O'Brien can currently be seen starring in the Harry M. Popkin United Artists production, DOA. Featured in our cast were Charles McGraw, Walter Burke, Lillian Byeff, Robert Griffin, James Nusser, Joan Banks, and Tyler McVeigh. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. Join us again next week when, from Hollywood, Edmund O'Brien returns in another transcribed adventure of...
Yours truly,
Johnny Dollar.
The man with a little black bag turns up on most of these CBS stations every Wednesday night. And out of it come some of the most lighthearted and most moving stories on the air. The man? Why, it's Dr. Christian, of course. And tomorrow night's the night for another of his famous visits. Be sure to hear Dr. Christian starring Gene Herschel as the beloved small-town physician every Wednesday night. Now stay tuned for the adventures of Philip Marlowe, which follows immediately on most of these same CBS stations. This is CBS, where Wednesday night is Bing Crosby night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. There are a lot of episodes of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, that even from these early times that are referred to as matters in a lot of logs. And I've even called some of them matters. Under Edmund O'Brien, they didn't start using matters for the title until sometime in April, it looks like, with the Pearl Icarusa matter. We'll just go with what's the actual title. According to John Abbott, who I've mentioned before, wrote the Who is Johnny Dollar matter, actually have looked, took a look at the scraps. Well, I have an email from Chris who says, I still love listening to your show as I work and travel. Right now I'm listening to Johnny Dollar as my girlfriend drives to Omaha, Nebraska from Indianola, Iowa. Your hard work keeps me sane as I slave away and helps me relax due to the fear of being in a car. Thank you for what you do. I'll make sure to vote for you on Podcast Alley this month, and I hope to be able to leave a tip after the 15th payday. He said, I'm not sure how much time it takes you to create this podcast on a daily basis, but please keep up the good work. Well, thanks a lot, Chris. I've been asked the question about time, and I've reached the conclusion that I don't really know. Listening to the shows itself just takes, 2.5 hours and recording it and then uploading. And even beyond that, there's research, and then there's parts of it that could be considered related to the show, where I'm looking up and investigating detective shows and possible shows for video theater. But then that could also be just considered goofing off, I guess. It's a good thing, I'm not being paid by the hour, or the accounting department would have some trouble. So would I. Just follow the Johnny Dollar school of expense accounts. A few more comments. A very good show and commentary. Well, thank you. And another one on Podcast Alley. Enjoy listening to your podcast. There's been a great improvement in your sound quality. Well, thank Andrew Rhines for that at otrwesterns.com. You're doing a great job bringing these programs back to the listening audience. Enjoy your information given and about the programs also from across the country, a listener in Pennsylvania. All right, well, thank you so much. I appreciate your comments. And we got a negative review on iTunes. It was a 3-star review, but it was one of those 3-star reviews that brought out everything the person thought negative about the show. The only thing that's kind of new, which I'll read verbatim, is this. The opening music is horrible. Well, I can appreciate the opinion. This one is actually old-time radio music from Pat Novak for Hire, a little bit that's being used at the start of the show. So, the rest of it, I'm not going to read just because I think just the very negative reviews aren't entertaining or kind of in the spirit of what we're wanting to do here. Constructive criticism always open to read. But I will answer two kind of general points, and I know we have a lot of people who join in and listen who haven't been following the show for years. Why do we, and so just two questions, I guess, for the record. Why do we read comments from places like Podcast Alley or iTunes? The answer is to connect and to build a level of community with the people who are listening. I think that's the key to having a great show, and we've had a lot of success at doing that, and we'll continue to do that. And why do we ask people to support the show on Podcast Alley? Because we want to grow the audience and have more people listening. And the better we can do on Podcast Alley, the more chance we have of people being able to discover us. On the Dragnet show, last week, the show made it into the top 10 on Podcast Alley, which landed it a place right on the homepage of PodcastAlley.com, which is a very nice piece of online real estate. So, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Got a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. You can follow the show on Twitter at Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.